Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're rolling, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is now permanent boss of Man United. Huddersfield Town could get relegated on Saturday. And will Callum Hudson-Odoi start for Chelsea?
Thank you very much, Manchester United, for doing some breaking news before we recorded.
There goes Man United. I must remember to thank them.
But before we get into all that chutney, we have some splendid news, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you will have already seen it. Some of you will have already got your tickets. Luke Moore, what is it?
Yes, as you may have seen already on our social media channels, we are off out on tour this autumn.
On the road.
And beyond. Taking the old live show / the Pete Donaldson experience back on the road. At the moment, UK dates are available and we'll be following those with some dates in the US and Canada, followed by European shows in the spring of next year. Very exciting. So if you want to come along, and we bloody love to see you, there's a good chance we're hitting a town near you. To buy tickets, head to ramblelive.com. That's ramblelive.com. Nice and simple. You can, of course, check out our social channels as well, at Football Ramble on Twitter, at The Football Ramble on Insta, where we'll be posting updates between now and then. That's ramblelive.com. Come and see us live. It's going to be a bloody good time. Oh. I don't know what Pete's got planned, but it's sure to be explosive.
We're not just hitting towns, we're battering them.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Like a Force 9 gale.
Like a hurricane.
A Force 9 football gale.
It's my favourite thing we do, the live shows.
It is.
If I may say so. The good people who come and see the live shows may not agree with that.
but they've already paid, and there is no refunds or exchanges.
No.
That's the most important thing, isn't it? And I also would like to venture, and you guys are probably going to cut me down for saying this, but I don't mind being the lightning rod. It's not like all those other football podcast live shows you see where it's just, you know, four idiot. Well, it is that.
Yeah.
But we're not just behind a desk talking about tactics.
Yeah.
We're doing other stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to come along to find out.
Exactly.
RambleLive.com. No more spoilers.
It's barely a football show.
Yeah. It's a football show, but not as we know it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Jim, you're looking forward to it, aren't you, you big beauty?
Certainly am.
Yeah, there we are. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what more confirmation do you need? Let's talk about the Premier League. Manchester United at home to Watford. Might be a jubilant atmosphere, certainly among the players, of course, because Solskjaer has been given a 3-year contract. He's won 14 out of his 19 matches thus far. And under Mourinho, they had their worst start to a season in 28 years, I believe it was. And so many of these players have been saying, yeah, no, we really like him, but please let him stay because it's a bloody lovely old time.
Yeah.
But will the slide begin immediately?
Yeah.
Will it begin immediately against Watford this weekend?
It's one of those weird football rules along with the law of the X. The players always seem to score against their old teams.
Yeah.
When a temporary manager is made permanent, the game don't change.
Yeah.
The game get more fierce, Pete Donaldson.
Well, I'd like to go back to the show we did just after he'd been appointed.
This is kind of a perfect free hit for Man United. He has to go back to Mulder unless they want to keep him.
Yep.
They're not going to keep him because he's Ole Gunnar fucking Solskjaer. Excuse my language. If it goes badly, he disappears.
Right.
If it goes well, thanks very much. Club legend, cemented. See you later.
See you later.
Yeah, not seeing you later. Sticking around. Mm-hmm. Three more years.
Three more years. Have you got a soundboard of all the stuff you say on there?
Yeah.
Are you a soundboard?
That would explain a lot. For weeks that I'm not here, I just sort of say the same thing over and over again.
Because that's very strange, because what you seem to do there is you sort of pushed a little button behind your right ear and went back in time and then just delivered that again.
I know, weird, eh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, Paul Pogba is certainly very happy. He said recently he wanted Solskjaer to get the job on a permanent basis. I wonder, could that have played a part in Manchester United appointing him? Because there was rumours that Paul Pogba may go elsewhere and whatnot. And keeping your players happy, it's always been important, but it's perhaps more important than ever. And clearly keeping up with the club has delighted a lot of those players.
It's vital to be able to translate footballer speaking to English. One of the key jobs you have to have doing what we do here. And what Pogba is essentially saying there is, he lets me do whatever I want.
Yes.
Exactly. And the last manager did not take that attitude. Thank you very much.
From one to Ronaldinho, I'm currently surfing towards Ronaldinho.
It almost feels like I'm being paid this much money, so that means I am the senior pro, so I can do whatever I want. What it should be is, no, you're being paid that much money, do as you're fucking told.
Yeah.
Because
you earn that
you.
Much money.
Yeah, you earn it.
You're
exactly.
Not, yeah, you're not giving it. But actually, genuinely, it seems to be the way to get the best out of Pogba, doesn't it? So if that's what works, then ultimately the results are what tell.
Yeah, but that, and that's why it's interesting with rumours linking Pogba away. Now that they've got Solskjaer, and Pogba's a huge part of that team, and he's one of the best midfielders in the world, for Paul Pogba, he likes a blank canvas to work with. And would he get that at Barcelona? No, he would not.
No, absolutely he wouldn't. But I think if he left now, his legacy at Man United would be one of a feeling of what could have been. Obviously, he has been very good for them, but perhaps hasn't maybe yet hit the heights people were hoping he would. But it really feels like if they can continue in this trajectory, then next season would be, in particular, would be an absolutely massive one for him. He's been brilliant since Solskjaer took over.
I'm not saying
he's been a flop at Man United, because that doesn't tell the whole story.
But legacy is a strong word to use with Pogba and Manchester United, I'd say, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this early, but, you know, that's good. When looking back on it, you know.
It depends on how long he stays, doesn't it?
Yeah. Point taken.
So would you, I mean, we talked about the spectre of your changing from temporary to permanent. And I think, you know, without getting too boring about it, United clearly needs some direction at the top of the club, don't they? A director of football would be particularly needed, especially given the relative experience of Solskjaer and how they want to run the club and all the rest of it. So that's really important to come in. Hopefully they've got something lined up for that. I've not seen if they have or not at the time of recording.
I'm just going to chuck a name out there, Louis van Gaal.
He seemed to say the other day that, or was it yesterday, that Solskjaer's no different to Mourinho. The only difference is he's winning games. Now, I guess
it's a big difference, isn't it? It's what you're there for.
Well, first of all, that is a big difference. Yeah, that is the job. But also, I suppose he means the sort of rear guard action, the sort of soak up the pressure kind of thing they did against PSG or something. Is he thinking that?
I think he's talking about. I love how park the bus is now in the football lexicon. I mean, I suppose it has been for a little while. But even someone like Van Gaal's using it, he says they use park the bus tactics, which most people will call defensive tactics. But he's saying Mourinho and Solskjaer are the same in doing that.
Mm.
But clearly, the football played under Solskjaer. And there's a load of stats to back this up, which I thought I'm not even going to bother bringing, because anyone who's glanced at Man United under Mourinho, under Solskjaer, can see the difference.
Yeah. It's like Van Gaal's just read the scores. He hasn't looked at anything other than that.
It's like he's recently retired and he's just sitting in his Algarve place and just shooting.
Yeah, well, it probably is that. But you know what happens? When you get to that stage of your career and you've been in football your whole life, people are climbing over themselves to get an interview with you. If you think Louis van Gaal cares about doing research about that kind of crap that he talks about, he just says what he thinks and people lap it up. That's where that's coming from.
I mean, he's always done that, by the way.
Of course he has, absolutely.
Yeah.
But do you think there's a question mark over... So Solskjaer came in around the middle of December, right? And then he went on that amazing run. Mm. Is there a question mark? This may sound ridiculous given that they turned it around against Paris Saint-Germain, but they were a bit fortunate to go through.
They were.
They were very fortunate in the game where they beat Spurs away. De Gea played brilliantly that day, if I remember. And then their other sort of trademark wins have come against Arsenal and Chelsea in the FA Cup, which of course they then got knocked out to Wolves. Is it just a case of too early to say, or is there a question mark over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and how he sets up teams against the big teams and the big games he's got to win? Because now the game done changed. He's the permanent manager there. He's the figurehead. He's probably going to be judged on these types of games.
I'll revert you back to Pete Donaldson's comments from the other week. Or whenever it was.
Will he have any control over the sort of players that are going to be entering and exiting Manchester United? That's
he'll consult Paul Pogba.
Paul, what's that you got written down there, mate? Just let us know.
They're all your mates.
Paul, who are you on the phone to? Paul, who are you on the phone to?
What do you reckon, Jimmy?
Well, I think the interesting thing with his management style has been that he's made all the right noises, hasn't he? And he's
got that Mancunian accent.
Well, not just in that sense. just that he's always talking about positivity, and he's very sort of
cups.
He does love a cup.
Yeah, and he's very sort of positively analytical about whatever United have done. Even when they've won, he's talked about stuff they could do better, and he's highlighted the stuff they could do well. And it looks, just from seeing him speak, that he is a very, very good motivator. So we're talking about this sort of slip up as if it will happen, but I don't know if it necessarily will. Now, the international break has come at a really good time for them, because they're basically in their first wobble, and they have a little break from that and they can regroup. And I think it'd be really interesting to see how things do-done change now that he is the man in charge. And because everyone's looking at him like, you know, oh, it's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We love Solskjaer. That's brilliant. What a nice thing to happen to such a nice man. This is different now because he's the boss.
Yes.
And how does he step up into that role? And I have to say, from what I've seen, I think he's going to do that well because he always looks very, very calm and collected.
They are going to get tonked by Barcelona, though, aren't they?
They're probably going to go out the Champions League. Yeah. I think obviously, you know, even if they squeeze past Barcelona, I personally wouldn't think that they have a decent chance of winning it. This season domestically, he's going to get a free pass, really, isn't he? Because he come in midway through, and I know it's demanding, but he's had a good start. I guess the situation is that Man United isn't the same now as it was 15 years ago when you probably had Man United and Arsenal, or before that Man United and Newcastle, or Man United and Chelsea, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Really now, I mean, you're looking at six teams, aren't you, who are really battling away to get in those top four positions. May well miss out this year. And then it depends what he does next year. It's very, very competitive at the top of the Premier League when compared to when he was last in the Premier League as a player.
Which is why it's so crucial.
Or as a manager at Cardiff.
Well, yeah, which is why it's so crucial for a top four finish. Because if they finish in the top four, they've got players who are happy. So I would argue that the likes of Pogba are more likely to stay. If you're... You know, if he's got money to spend in the summer, you'd imagine he would. If you're a player who's got a pick of a few of the elite clubs and all the rest of it, you're going to look at that happy camp at Manchester United and think they've got Champions League football. They've got, you know, a World Cup winner in the much aforementioned Paul Pogba and a few others and whatnot. It's a far more attractive proposal for the club to work with. Yeah. You know, I mean, they may even look at Mr. Decore, the Watford player, because he said he'd like to play Champions League football as well.
Half the Watford team say that.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Decore's honesty. He said in January he wanted to move to PSG and he's now come out and said he'd like to play Champions League. And he said, just like most of the Watford squad. I said, well, hang on, don't... Yeah. That was a... At least don't name us.
At least Hazard, you know, keeps it to himself.
Well, only just. Yeah. But yeah, he did reiterate that he's happy at Watford and then said, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens in the summer transfer window.
Just because you're happy at one place doesn't mean you can't be happier somewhere else.
Of course footballers think this, but I think as fans, you just keep that to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, this is a chance for them to go seventh, isn't it? Which is, you know, top
Man
of
United.
The rest. No, Watford, which would obviously be a big carrot for them, but they've never won at Old Trafford in the league. So this is a big, big ask for them, I think.
It is.
So what Solskjaer's achieved, certainly more recently, I know they're beaten by Arsenal but and knocked out the cup, but what they've achieved more recently has been in the face of some pretty serious cup, sorry, knocked out the cup. But in the face of some pretty sort of serious, not serious injury, but serious number of injuries. Yeah. At the moment, you're looking at even just the players listed as doubtful: Shaw, Matic, Rashford, Martial, Lukaku, Damian, Bailly. It's a big amount of the team.
They've got a lot.
So yeah, he's gonna have to navigate those quite stormy waters. I think he'll probably get through on a feel-good factor this weekend. But then they're at home, aren't they? To Watford, Old Trafford, and Watford are a good team, but perhaps not so good away. Watford are 7-1 to win this game, by the way, with Bet365. £10 returns £80, including stake. The feel-good factor is not going to last forever. Jim's absolutely right, I think. He hit the nail on the head. It's a nice thing that happened to who seems like a lovely guy and someone we hold in a lot of affection because of what he's achieved in the Premier League in the past. That's not going to last forever.
Yeah. Oh, are you trying to sell like a relationship? You've got to keep it fresh.
I've just taken over a job as Mauricio Pochettino's agent.
Yes.
And I've told him to be patient.
Solskjaer needs to buy the Kama Sutra book.
Yeah, why
not? To keep
not?
Things fresh.
Can you lend him your copy?
Yes.
It's on your expenses list.
It's got drawings of my own in there.
He's quite the talented artist, Peter.
He certainly is. Yeah. My goodness.
Mainly with fluid.
No.
Just let that linger for a bit. And now we'll move on to Cardiff versus Chelsea. I'd like to ask the question, have Ross Barkley and Callum Hudson-Odoi done enough recently to get in that Chelsea?
It's like a holiday camp, isn't it?
Have they done enough?
International football. They're like, we can actually play. Lovely.
Callum Hudson-Odoi, it's like he's going to have to break out of Chelsea. Like via England.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Under an old bath.
He's a good player, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen glimpses, the price tag of 35 million and buy for old. It was just so nice for him to get a start for England. And go on, express yourself. Yeah. And he bloody well did.
He got 17 minutes at Everton.
Did he?
Yeah.
Right. Everton. I stand corrected.
I get the feeling that Sarri won't be pushed on things. I think I'm just sort of discussing.
I get the impression that he's completely oblivious as to what happened in the European Championship qualifiers.
Well, I can imagine
Hudson-Odoi walking back into Chelsea training whenever he reported back. and Sarri with a tab on the go. Here he is, the England international. You're training over there this morning.
You can't get in my team, can you?
That's up to you. Yeah, exactly.
Oh dear.
He's like Omar in The Wire. Sorry. Big coat on, smoking. Game got more fierce. It's a very Wire-themed show this week for some reason.
Yeah, I think you sometimes do that.
I don't want to be controversial for the sake of it, but I don't think enough was made of the defensive frailties of a Hudson-Odoi when he played for England.
Oh yeah, no, I think he was at fault for Montenegro's goal. Certainly.
Yeah, and he had a really experienced international fullback behind him, and that helped him. But going forward, he was fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit harsh for a guy who's clearly an attacking player who's very, very young. And also,
but they've got to put a shift in these days, haven't they?
Yeah, they do, but I mean, that goal, it was slightly fortuitous. He took it very well. But yeah. I mean,
Michael Keane as well could have done
that. Yeah, I didn't look at that and go, well, what are you doing there, Hudson-Odoi? Can we take him off
I wouldn't say he should have got the hook. I'm just saying that these days, when you play in that position, you've got to protect your fullback as well.
Like with Barkley. Plays bad, you get him off for Kovacic.
Let me put it aside anyway. I thought people were falling over themselves to praise Hudson-Odoi, which I understand, purely because people are on the crest of a wave with this great, exciting young England squad. And it felt to me that everyone was far too quick to be like, brilliant, 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 when there was actually some quite obvious frailties to his performance
game. As should just be said. He's 18 and he's never played football before.
This is his training match.
But Barkley was great for England, wasn't he?
I
think Barkley now, you would think of him probably as a starter for England. I mean, Barkley is more of a slightly creative midfielder, which I know I said at the time when we were doing the international chat that England is the one of the areas where England lack a little bit, so they've gone for a bit more industry. I suppose Lingard and Dele Alli were in the World Cup, but I think Barkley...
They've changed formation now, haven't they, crucially?
Yeah, but you still have three in the middle of the pitch. So when he started, as we said, with Dyer and Henderson, we're a bit like, that might be unnecessary. Barkley came on and really got things going.
I think he's been excellent, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think the way that Chelsea play in their midfield three, Jorginho is obviously the guy who is the metronomic player, if that's the right word.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and then Kante will be one side. I do think Barkley, I know he likes Kovacic, but I'd love to see Barkley play more minutes with Chelsea.
Barkley will either get 65 minutes or 25 minutes. He'll have a start or he'll come off for Kovacic. Yeah, we know that's absolutely
good. But it would be nice to see him play a bit more. A couple of other Chelsea players had a good international break. Morata scored both goals for Spain, of course, and Giroud became France's third highest scorer of all time with another goal.
Who did Morata score his two against, Marcus? He left that bit off.
Another international side.
Yeah. Competitive international game.
Called Malta.
Malta, exactly.
Well, he was the only one who did score.
That's true.
No, they still count.
I think whatever haunted Fernando Torres at Chelsea is now attached to Morata.
Yeah, the spirit has moved. It's a different host.
I know. Giroud, it's so funny, isn't it, with Giroud, how his time at France is so different. Such a crucial player. The third highest scorer. Only Platini and Henri have scored more. Now, I know his ratio may not be amazing for France, but he still scored goals for them. He won the World Cup and then goes back to Chelsea. And then there's talk of, he said something along the lines of, yeah, I may stay here if the transfer ban comes in and they need me. Mm. Otherwise,
he wants to go back to Lyon, doesn't he? Well, to France, to Lyon.
But he said he's happy at Chelsea.
Right.
I mean, he's lived in London for years.
And talking about the ratio of his international goal scoring record, I mean, it's not... I don't want to live in a world where a World Cup winner sits down and the first question he's asked is, talk to me about your scoring ratio.
I mean.
I don't need to. I've won the World Cup.
But what I'm saying is that I know that he's... people may not consider him the most prolific international scorer, but he scored 35 goals for France.
And we heard on Wednesday on The Constant with James and Andy talking about just the amount of players who love playing with him. Who are really keen to see him in the
He's
first
a very giving footballer. Yeah. You'll always get the ball back unless he's right in front of
great
the ball.
Great link-up player. Yeah,
beautiful boy.
And he is a very handsome boy. Who wouldn't want to... look at that.
I miss him. I miss him so much.
That's why he plays with his back to goal, so his teammates can enjoy looking at him.
The Chelsea curse of misfiring forward players will not be lifted until they stop the practice of turning all the lights down and putting those flames up.
Oh yeah,
it's devilish.
No, Diego Costa wasn't misfiring.
It's voodoo.
They've got to bury Andrei Shevchenko under the goal.
Maybe that's where the demon that haunted Torres came from.
No, Matija Kesma's got to take a piss in every corner flag.
Is that right?
And it'll break the curse.
But Diego Costa didn't seem to struggle too much.
No, he can't be killed by a conventional
method. Yeah, that is, right. Yeah,
he is
all
a
the
demon,
people.
So he can't be possessed.
Yeah,
he's made of an old sad tree.
Yeah, he is.
An old sad
he's
tree.
More, he's more carved rather than born. But well, Cardiff are 8-1 with Bet365 to win at home to Chelsea this weekend. £10 returns, £90, including stake.
Yeah, and this contest will show two very different styles of football. You've got Sarri ball against Warnock Bash, or whatever you call it. I don't know.
Warlock ball.
A friend of mine refers to it as Brexit ball.
Yeah, you could do.
And you know, Warnock. Neil Warlock calls the ball, he actually calls it an orb. It's a crystal ball, it's an orb. Yeah, and he weaves sort of dreams and fantasies in it. Let's play via the spirit of Callum Patterson.
let's play a hoof orb, but football.
But I mean, you'd imagine that he'll have people to deal with Jorginho in that Chelsea midfield. Because obviously, much has been made this season. You stop Jorginho playing, you stop Chelsea and whatnot. Jorginho's going to have some bruises at the end of this game, isn't he?
What about Cardiff missing Sol Bamba?
I know, it's
a huge miss for them.
It is,
in both penalty areas.
That's very true, Jim. That's very true. They're going to have to crack on without him and see if they can survive, because he's out for a long time. And we're getting towards the business end. In fact, would you officially say it's the business end?
I think when you're in towards the end of March.
Yeah.
Like 6-7 matches left?
How many games have we got left?
How much business do you want, Marcus?
7 or 8 games left.
Yeah.
Brighton have got 9, to be
Peter,
fair.
It's business time.
It's business time.
But Sarri and Warlock, they love a tracksuit. Who will look more informal on the touchline?
Have you written that down?
I would like to say.
I actually think Sarri, because the thing you've got to remember is that Sarri's eating fat.
Yeah. That is...
Yeah.
Or is that fancy in a way? That's too weird.
No, he can't be smoking on the touchline.
No, he's choose him.
So I choose him.
Oh, so he
choose the butts. Here's a little thought experiment for you. You're going for a job interview. What's worse, going to a job interview dressed in a tracksuit or going to a job interview
in an ill-fitting,
wearing a tracksuit, chewing a fag butt?
Yeah.
I think it shows
unless
character.
Unless you're having an interview at British American Tobacco, for example, or Philip Morris.
I love this stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good point. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for emails with PDD.
Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees!
You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Mainly just updates this week. James has pointed out that there's a wonderful video from Tandoori Lounge in a small town, a small Indian restaurant in a small town in Havering, Essex.
Havering.
Yeah. Havering.
Right. Where I'm from.
Everything down south.
When I haver.
It's the haves and the haves nots.
Basically, it's a video of Sven going around just sort of saying hello to... it's all shot from below, so you get a lot of the old waddle.
What's he doing in the country?
Actual Sven.
Exactly, yeah.
In my
Sven.
Yard.
Havering. Actual Sven.
In your ends, mate.
In your ends. Foshi has also updated us with a new cryptocurrency, the Ronaldinho cryptocurrency. Yeah. He's joined the game. A new player's joined the game.
Two drinks for one.
Niall enjoyed the chat from the bloke who listened to the ramble during the snip a little bit earlier on this week. I've used the ramble to get me through some fairly painful tattooing before, and with my missus currently pregnant with our first, I smiled at the thought of me doing the same in years to come.
Well, you just had a tattoo, Peter.
Oh, yeah.
I just have a tattoo.
Newcastle United one.
Newcastle United tattoo.
Did you listen to yourself while you were getting tattooed up?
No, I just chanted, names of footballers I remember from the past.
Okay. Did you listen to a rerun of yourself getting it wrong about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Why haven't you tattooed
that? Yeah, exactly. That's how I found out.
Was this a late night drunken tattoo?
No, it was not. How dare you? I'm halfway through it. I just need it coloured.
I just mean because it's chanting.
Am I right in saying like a serious tattooist won't tattoo a drunk person?
Yeah, no.
They're not
and to
meant
be honest, alcohol's a terrible idea because it makes you, I think it makes you bleed
more.
It makes
you blood thinner. Yeah, okay.
Gross. Hello to Andy Bod at work in Chelmsford. Hola, chicos. Listening to Monday's pod while out for a run, the mention of Leeds and Northern Ireland goalkeeper Bailey Peacock Farrell got me thinking about the abundance of double-barrel footballers at present. As a tangent, though, I started to think about whether there are any others where you could argue their entire name is made of three surnames. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, for example, James Ward-Prowse, Kyle Walker-Peters, and Cameron Borthwick-Jackson. Can you or any of your listeners think? Yeah, I think Cameron Borthwick-Jackson has probably got
Kevin Kyle.
You've got three, haven't you?
Kyle Walker-Peters, they're all surnames.
Alexander Oxlade-Chamberlain, could you stretch for that? Is that his name?
Jeremy Kyle, Julie Walters. Yeah, good. Yeah. That's it. But if anyone's got any more, Andy Bod at work
Trent
in Chelsea,
Alexander
would like to hear from
Arnold.
You.
That'll probably
James
work.
Gibbs-White?
Morgan Gibbs-White, isn't it? Morgan Gibbs-White.
Oh, is it Morgan?
Yeah,
that one as well.
Yeah. So basically all of them.
But can I just say, though, it's a bit sort of seductive, because if you're going with someone with a double-browed surname, two of those three are already literally surnames.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's just one first name that could also be a surname.
Yeah, you might as well.
James Campbell's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so there we go.
There we are, you see.
Good. We're all grand. That's the end.
Short that the, is, that's
short
the end.
Shortthefootballramble.com if you
want. I was just thinking that Havering, would, if you had that town in Scotland, it would be like calling a place like Puking or...
Yeah.
Is that I'm heathen.
I'm still thinking about Sarri's chewing fags.
Yeah. All right, then. All right, well, we must go for an ad break then.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They're going down, down to watch the Football Ramble live.
Get your tickets. RambleLive.com. Do you want another one?
Yeah.
It's too late to apologize for not getting you and your friends Football Ramble Live tickets. Oh.
RambleLive.com.
Yep, right. RambleLive.com. Yeah, it's as simple as that.
That is wonderful. I don't suppose you'd have any more.
It's been a while. Since the Football Ramble toured, so come see the Football Ramble live.
All right, one more. To be left outside alone
when it's cold out here. Don't be left outside alone like Anastasia's friend. Get your tickets to the Football Ramble live.
Are we doing this tour in 2007?
I thought that was before that.
All noughties acts.
I'd say that's about 102.
All noughties, mate.
Just a selection of the artists that will be appearing at our live show.
Yeah, we've got a sort of impressive... support cast.
Anastasia got given a fake birth date so she could pretend she was younger than she actually was by her record company, and she kept forgetting how old she was, which I thought was really good.
I've heard similar rumours about Jerry Halliwell.
Have you? The Carnu of the...
I know someone who went to school with a Premier League footballer, and they're in the same year, and the age of that footballer is... does not correspond with the age that he is.
Really?
Wow.
Come on, Jim.
Jim's wicked whisper.
Come on.
I don't know if I can tell you.
Speaking of footballers who are getting on a bit.
Gabby Agbonlahor's retired.
Oh, Gabby. He's gone. He's gone. Out of there.
We hardly knew
he's
you.
He's only 32.
Hi, Marcus.
Oh, there he is. Hi, Gabby.
I'm not. Well, you know, I've retired from football, Marcus. Thanks for your support.
I mean, he hadn't played since December 2017, so he'd sort of already retired. In a sense. Released by Aston Villa in the summer of 2018.
The only club he ever permanently played for, of course.
I know, yeah. Yeah, but his last match was in December 2017, so he didn't play for a little while.
Was it just injuries or just a general disinterest?
I think
it was a bit of both.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, in his statement, that, as you say, he couldn't imagine playing against Villa. Or playing for another team, and
might not be quite that level.
I mean, I won't worry about that, Gabby.
I think that was probably a fairly new thought because when he played for Celtic in that, was it a charity game or it was like an informal game?
Oh, yeah.
When he was that the game when he smashed the bloke from One Direction? Louis?
Oh, that rings a bell,
Oh, it does ring a bell.
Yeah, but anyway, he turned out for Celtic in some form or another, and he was making a lot of kissy faces at Celtic saying, I'd love to come up and play.
Well, here. I mean, in one of the seasons under Martin O'Neill, when he was a younger man, well, we were all younger men then. Yeah. But he played every single Premier League game. And I think Villa finished like mid-table, did okay.
He finished. There was a couple of top six finishes for Villa.
Yeah, and so he would have been a part of
three
some of
England
those
caps,
well.
I think.
Yeah. So he's like, I mean, look, in all seriousness, he's had a long and good career, judged on the average of most football players.
Yeah, I think there's a
he's
shame.
He's just a bit strange.
But it faded away. When he got into his 30s, it kind of faded away, and he's only 30.
Because he was all about pace.
Mm. Yeah, well, there you are. Gabby, it's been a pleasure.
Sail on.
Sail on, indeed.
Sail on and God bless.
There we are, you see. Right then, back to the Premier League. Liverpool versus Spurs. The weekend's thigh rubber. Liverpool need a win, as you'd expect.
So do Spurs, by the way.
Yeah, well, they do. You'd expect Man City to beat Fulham. But Liverpool probably without Jordan Henderson. Spurs probably without Eric Dier. So that frees up the midfield
like that.
A little.
Two sort of screens have been removed. It's like a house party with an open door.
Yeah it's nice. It's nice.
It is. Alexander-Arnold will probably miss out as well, which is a plus for Spurs because he's been very good indeed, and his delivery from out wide has been up there with Mr. Robertson's on the other flank as well. So it'll be interesting to see what old Klopper does navigate that.
And what a difference a few weeks makes, because we could be sitting here on Monday talking about the fact that Spurs are only in the top four places on goal difference after 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, whatever it was, not even that long ago, maybe, there were two chance to go 2 points off the top of the league.
Well, this is it, yeah.
They've lost three of the last four and won none of their last four in the league.
Well, they don't want to go from outside bet for title contenders to not even in the top four, which is a possibility now. I'd still fancy Spurs to get top four. But it's crazy to think how that little shift can happen. Because we were talking about them not that long ago of, oh, could they catch Man City and Liverpool? And now it's a possibility that they may not even finish in the top five.
Mm. And we talked about United, they're at home this weekend, and we've got the Campbell-Donaldson derby on Monday night, I think. So you'd fancy Arsenal to win that.
At home.
Yeah, they're brilliant at home, Arsenal. In which case, if that is the case and Spurs don't get a positive result at Liverpool, they'll be only in the top four on goal difference.
Yeah, now it could be... We've said this for a few weeks now. It could be a nervy one at Anfield. But I think this is probably a good game for Liverpool to come off the international break.
Yeah.
Because you come off and you've got to be at the races straight away. And
there's no concentration issue or anything like that.
Exactly, yeah. And Liverpool, they know that it's all in Man City's hands now because they've got that extra point, of course, presuming that they win their game in hand. And obviously Liverpool have thrown away their lead. But we did say that perhaps Liverpool would prefer to be just... chasing, but only slightly behind. That's pretty much the position they're in.
Do you know what's crazy about the whole standard is that Liverpool have only lost one game in the league this season.
I know,
and you wouldn't. I don't think they're favourites to win it. It's absolutely mad.
Yeah, I know they've been immaculate.
I was talking when I did the Ramble Weeks with Jeremy Carragher years and years ago under Benitez. I think Liverpool lost two games in the league and didn't win the league.
Yeah,
you know, it's crazy. They've come pretty close.
That was the closest.
closer than we perhaps think, because the big headline is stuff like, oh, they haven't won it for this many years, but they have come very close.
Under Brendy Rodgers, they were close.
Yes, that was 13-14.
I think that this is so crucial, isn't it? Because they have done everything right. And obviously, if they lose their next three games, and they haven't done everything right, but up until this position, they have been absolutely superb. And unfortunately for them, it comes at a time when Man City have untold riches. Mm. They've got Pep Guardiola in charge and have assembled one of the finest squads that currently exist.
But to be fair to them, I mean, this has been from the opening day of the season. They've been excellent. They knew what their task was, and they have attacked it with such gusto. And it's making for such a brilliant title race. And yeah. I mean, even talking, you know, as you say, talking about Spurs now, the position they find themselves, isn't it? Even the race for the top four is genuinely exciting now. And it's such a tonic from last season, where obviously Man City were a brilliant thing to watch. But, you know, it was wrapped up so early that, you know, this has been great.
No, you're absolutely right. And there's two teams from four which will get the final two Champions League spots. And those two who miss out, that will be actually quite damning. Because Emery wants Champions League football to attract players. It's all about attracting players and whatnot.
And you know, if you go back to 97-98 Premier League season, so what, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, but still very much in the Premier League era, Arsenal won the league from one point ahead of United. Arsenal finished on 78 points and United finished on 77. Mm. Liverpool, Man City have got 76 and 74 already. and they've got 7 and 8 games left respectively. Mm. So, I mean, the numbers we're talking about here are, you know, pretty high. I mean, the standard we're talking about I think we talked earlier in the season about it being the fastest start Liverpool have ever had, or the best that they've ever had in their history or something. And they still may not win it. So they're going very, very close. They're doing their very best.
Yeah. What would you fancy then? Because I think Liverpool will win the game.
The draw is 3-1 with Bet365. £10 returns, £40 including stake. I don't think that's a terrible shout. I think it's a good game. It's a better game for Liverpool than it is for Spurs, because Spurs are on a bit of a difficult run. Mm-hmm. I'm not fully across what players Spurs have got back. Have they got any injury problems now? They've got Dyer
obviously.
Out.
Yeah,
I get the feeling that Liverpool have travelled a bit though, haven't they? Like their players.
Yeah, true. Winks is still doubtful.
He is, yeah.
So I think Liverpool will clearly be the favourites because it's at Anfield. It'll be a good game. I won't be watching it, of course, because I'll be at the Checker Trade Trophy final.
Pompey playing Sunderland.
Correct, yeah.
My goodness, what a game
Mother's
that is.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day, Mrs. Moore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She'd love the peace and quiet.
Talking of, as we did before, managers wearing tracksuits, obviously Klopp prefers the informal. I know they played in the Champions League final last season, but I can't picture Klopp in a suit.
He was dressed as a pantomime dame.
That'll be it.
Can you honestly remember what he was wearing at the Champions League final last year?
No, he was. He was dressed as a pantomime dame.
Amazing. Can you picture him in a suit?
I can weirdly picture him as a pantomime dame, a lot more. Like with a beauty spot and everything.
Yeah.
Rouged.
Yeah.
Or a half and half. So one half of him, he turns to you on your right, he's the Dame, and then the other half, oh, this is Jurgen Klopp, the football manager.
Well, that seems to be the thing at the moment. Like, see that horrible Manchester City kick with like six different kits in one?
That's a bit silly.
We started something at that Glasgow live show when we did a half and half Ranger Celtic top.
Why do you keep saying
and now
we?
Everyone's at it.
There's nothing to do with us. We were having the pre-production meeting. Ramble. You spent your whole time stitching together a Ranger Celtic hybrid.
To be fair, fine job he did too as well.
Frankenstein.
RambleLive.com.
Yeah.
It's all under the same banner. Whatever happens on stage.
Stays on stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, you're bringing people together. You're trying to do what no one can or perhaps
should do.
Yeah. Next, the Irish border.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. Like when you pissed in that charity bucket.
Oh, come on. Jim.
I didn't bring that up.
Again, RambleLive.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Vote for Pete's deal. Harry Kane said that he'd like to switch from football to American football when he's kind of done with
regular
football.
He seems deadly serious. He sort of said, like, I'll give it 10 years and then I'll start thinking about it in the NFL. I was like, that's very big of you.
No reason why. Could it have anything to do with Spurs' NFL deal?
Maybe.
Kane is obsessed with NFL.
He loves
Patriots. He loves Brady and Edelman and all the rest of them. And I think, this might be a stretch too far, but I might have read at one point that his penalty routine, you know, he does that routine. I think he might have learned that or at least been influenced by that from Stephen Gostkowski, who is the kicker for the Patriots. And because he's Instagramming himself with New England Patriots all the time when he goes over there. So it wouldn't be out of the... Didn't Clive Allen kick for an American football team for a bit towards the end of his career as well?
There's talk of David James wanting to do that.
You
as
can
well.
See with keepers because they're absolutely willing.
There's absolutely no reason. Yeah. If Kane retires from Premier League football at 35 and he doesn't want to play for anyone else and he's made his money, which he would have done, he's done everything he wants to
do. What does a kicker do actually? Well, they kick, but I mean, how much are they on the field? Because
just come on to kick and go off again.
Is that it?
Yeah, they don't do anything else.
Oh, yeah, get them in there.
Yeah, so I'm saying,
I thought you have to kick and then you might have to take a few hits.
If the team drives, doesn't get a touchdown, and they've got one down left, they'll go for a field goal, and it's just like a rugby kick.
Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they get totaled by an on-running defender, but they're normally pretty well protected.
Yeah, I could give that a go.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh,
now we're talking.
Marcus declares for the NFL.
Yeah, and you, feature for the live show.
And you three can defend me.
No way.
I've got a recent tattoo, Marcus. I can't. Oh.
There's only one person here with the build of a defensive end, and it isn't those two, Antonio.
You've never seen my defensive end, have you? It's not defensive.
I was about to say, very
it
offensive.
It invites people in.
Yeah. Incredibly offensive end. All right then. Yes, it is business time, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the season. Because this weekend, Huddersfield Town could get relegated.
Yeah.
That seems so brutal.
Yeah. Seems early. But again,
seems early.
And you weren't calling it the business end of the season. Somebody can get relegated this weekend. It's not the business end of the season.
No, but we clarified earlier in the show it was the business end of the
you
season.
You were already under duress.
You were wrong, accept it.
I was wrong, but now I'm right.
Yeah, okay. Now you've adopted an alternative position.
Exactly, under the Ramble brand.
Yeah.
RambleLive.com.
When was the last time a team got relegated before the end of March?
I think you know, mate.
Yeah, but I know.
2007, 2008.
Derby County.
Derby County. Well, Sunderland? 2008 is the answer.
Yeah, how many, if anyone around here
Sunderland.
Can tell, how many points did they accrue throughout the entire season?
Was it 13?
9?
11.
11, correct. And how many games did they win in the league in total?
Just one, maybe.
One game.
Well, who was that against?
That is a rough. That's the roughest of season.
It was against the reserves, but the Premier League buggered it up.
I don't know who it was against. I could try and find out.
I don't know who it was against.
Yeah.
It was away from home. Mm-hmm. And it was... Oh, no, it wasn't. It was
extraordinary.
Oh, it was at home. They won 1-0 against Newcastle.
I thought I'd seen just about everything.
Just squeaked it. Also in that season at home, they lost 6-2, 6-0, 4-0, 3-0, 5-0.
All right, well, at least the season ticket holders got goals.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They saw goals.
They did, yeah.
But Huddersfield have already got, 14 points or something? So they're better off than them already.
If they lose to Palace... against away to Palace. Burnley beat Wolves at home and Southampton beat Brighton at home, then they're down.
It could happen.
Yeah. It could happen.
Mm-hmm. I read a piece about fans summing up the season so far at the weekend and the Huddersfield fan, and it was saying it's just so frustrating to see that the players basically seem to have down tools. Mm-hmm. And it does look that way, doesn't it? Even from a sort of...
Well, they're going
to
get relegated.
Doesn't watch them every week. Oh, absolutely
they're
they are. But they're not really going down with any fight, are they? They look like they're on the beach.
Because I think it's
not as nice a beach as last summer. They're in the all-inclusive.
Think of their last result. Was it 3-1 up against West Ham? Lost 4-3? I mean, Jan Sievert was fuming.
Yeah, I mean, you can't accuse them of not putting effort in for a period of that match, I suppose.
That's true. Mm. Well, Palace are only 5 points above the relegation zone themselves, but with Huddersfield all but down and again, Fulham looking...
It's just one spot, isn't it?
Which is why, but Cardiff playing Chelsea... The likes of Palace will look at that and think, right, come on, lads, we've got to be at the races here. Mm. We're playing against the bottom of the league side. Cardiff, who are in 18th, are playing at home to Chelsea. There's a chance. And could this be the match, Peter, where Andros Townsend gets his fifth Premier League goal?
You're running
season?
Out of games, Speller. Yeah. You are running out of games, my friend.
Oh, business end, mate.
Five, 6 weeks ago, you were cock a hoop. You're running out of games now.
I still am, mate.
Have you seen Palace's run after this game, though?
Go on.
They've got Spurs away, Newcastle away.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go. Yeah. There's the gimme.
There's your win.
Man City at home, Arsenal away, Everton at home, Cardiff away, which will potentially be tough at that point, and then Bournemouth at home for the last day of the season, which, let's be honest, should be fine.
But the Spurs game is the first game in the new Spurs stadium. I can absolutely see it being Spurs nil, Palace 1, Townsend.
Absolutely. And I'll have a quid on that.
Yeah.
But you're forgetting that probably the hardest away game of the season, you could argue Anfield, some would say the Etihad. I mean, what did Townsend do?
Palace have got a weird record against Liverpool.
It was a 25-yard volley? Yeah. He doesn't respect the opposition.
He doesn't muck around, does he, Mark?
Exactly. He seems to respect a lot of them. Three or four a season.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I think he's going to get his fifth Premier League. He has scored five goals, but Pete then chucked in.
Deal with it, mate.
If you fancy Huddersfield to go to Selhurst Park and get a win, now 7-1 with Bet365, which, let's be fair, does seem unlikely, but £10 will return £80, including stake.
Lovey. Love that.
Lovey. If Andros Townsend doesn't, can we relegate Marcus if Andros doesn't make his five?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's relegate him anyway.
Football Ramble Championship.
Problem. Yeah. Yeah.
See you down there. Luke, what's our best bet with Bet365?
A new man in the hot seat. Yeah. Isn't it? Right. Joshua is long gone now. We hardly knew you, but.
So close.
He's done a good service, hasn't he?
A very good service.
Yeah, we remember him well. Rob Kingston, step on up. He says, "Hi, Ramblers. I like the look of Wolves to beat Burnley and both teams to score, which is offered 9-2 on Bet365. Burnley's mini renaissance seems to have stalled slightly, but they still look good for a goal based on recent form. So £50 at 9-2 returns £275, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. 18 plus, of course. Do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. That is Wolves to beat Burnley and both teams to score. Rob also says, "P.S. How about a word for Lossy Mouth FC on the pod? They owe a huge debt of gratitude to pod favourites Fort William for sparing their blushes, as at the time of writing, they sit 17th in the Highland Football League with just 8 points and a goal difference of -106. But because Fort William are so much worse, no one cares."
Yeah. What would you rather? Would you rather the
I'd rather not finish bottom.
Sure, but you get the notoriety, you get more media attention.
I know what you mean. The infamy of being the world's worst team or whatever.
Yeah, interesting. It depends how...
All the best, Rob. Good luck, mate.
Depends how you're wired. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Going for Gold. So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, well, you to play our game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be here the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold.
They're reaching so high and that's where the stakes live that are so high.
Yeah.
They're in the sky. You don't need to repeat yourself.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, true.
Oh, dear me. Hello to James Tortoise, which is a hell of a name to write.
Tortoise?
Because it automatically gets spell checked to Tortoise.
James Tortoise.
Tortoise. Yeah. It's Tortoise.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah. Right. Are you ready for the game, guys?
Yes.
Mystery footballer in my brain and on my paper, and you've got to guess who it is. I was born on the 28th of February, 1980, in a place called.
Esnes.
Esnes.
Was that him saying it?
No.
I think that's Google Translate.
Esnes.
1980.
Yeah.
Stop. Heidegger Johnson.
Incorrect.
It does sound Scandinavian to me as well, that.
Stop. Herman Hreiðarsson.
Incorrect. I'm moving on. After scoring 23 goals in my first 127 games, I only scored 10 in my next 327.
Whoa.
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 So.
Yeah.
I'm moving on. I have won the UEFA Cup and the Eredivisie twice.
Stop. Is it Dennis Romadal?
Incorrect.
Nice to hear his name.
Yeah, it is.
So can you repeat that last one, Pete?
I have won the UEFA Cup and the Eredivisie twice.
Stop. John Dal Thomason.
I'm moving on. Incorrect. In 2005...
You're going too fast.
You are going quite fast.
No, I'm not. You complained that I went too slow. I left too many gaps.
No one's ever complained.
I'm going slow. All of you have complained.
Speed up. Speed it up, mate.
Would you like me to speed up?
If you've got a guess, say stop and he has to stop.
Yeah.
If you haven't, you haven't.
Stop. I'm going to throw one out there now, aren't I?
Go on, get it, Jim.
Go
He's
on,
gonna get it. I bet he gets it.
Go on, you slug.
Yeah, you slug.
Get it out there.
Natalia Kesman.
So we've basically replaced silence with people going, incorrect, incorrect. In 2005, after a Champions League game, Carlo Ancelotti called me a coward and Gattuso threatened to batter me.
Ooh. Interesting. 2005, did you say?
Yeah.
Stop. Klaas-Jan Huntelaar.
Incorrect.
Nice shout, though.
I don't think he's Dutch. I think he's Scandinavian.
Yeah, maybe. But Huntelaar played for Milan, didn't he, for a bit.
Moving on. When I moved to Ligue 1 in 2011, I became only the second player to play in all five of the big leagues. Germany, Spain, Italy, England and France. Bonus point to name the first.
Bonus point?
I can't be thinking about that.
Yeah. And has the listener done that?
Yeah.
No, he can't be throwing bonus points in there.
He can do what he wants. He came up with the clues. I don't care.
Who submitted the clues?
James Tortoise.
James Tortoise. Fuck, shut up.
What was the clue again?
When I moved to Ligue 1 in 2011, I became the second player to play in all five of the big leagues. Germany, Spain, Italy, England and France.
Stop. Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Incorrect.
Oh, I really thought I had that.
Stop. Is it... It's not Thomas Gravesen, is it?
Incorrect.
I think he played...
He's been around a bit.
Moving on. Yeah. I also played in Denmark and the Netherlands.
I told you. I reckon he's Danish. Mm.
Stop. Thomas Helvig.
Incorrect.
Last one to pass. He played for Milan.
Final clue.
Didn't he?
Well, it's wrong.
Yeah. Final clue. Any guesses?
No, I've got nothing.
Come on, Jimmy. Come on, Jim.
No, let's have a final clue.
Come on, MVP.
In Euro 2004, I was spat on by a one-club Italian legend.
I don't know who that is.
Stop, Rudy Voller.
Incorrect.
Oi, I appreciate you throwing your guess away there.
I've got nothing else.
Yeah. 2004. He's Swedish.
It all comes out of Jim.
He's Swedish. They played Sweden.
All comes out
of Jim. They played Denmark as well. Oh, he's Danish.
Shut up. You still got to go as well.
He's Scottish.
Marcus, you've got a guess as well. Yeah,
I know I do.
Bring it home.
But it's more likely Jim's getting it, so I'm trying to help Jim.
You're actually confusing me by just shouting words at
piss
me.
Piss off.
Jim, you can't stand the heat, Jim. Get out of the kitchen. You're top end now. Top end.
Five.
No. Come
four.
On.
There are people listening.
Three. People are loving this.
Two.
No. That's not fair. Don't you dare press that button.
I mean, he gave
because
you a count.
I've Marcus got the right quite... answer.
What is it?
Well, Jim, why don't you go?
No.
I've got it. I've got Jonathan Johansson.
Incorrect.
Jim, nothing.
Stop. Henrik Larsson.
Incorrect.
I know.
Not
Jim Campbell.
Doesn't win. Not Luke Moore doesn't win.
Marcus Bull.
None of those people win because the answer was Christian Pulsen.
Oh, I told you it's Danish. So annoying. It's time for you. What you would have been a game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold. The lack of respect for the Quizmaster this week has been horrendous.
This week?
Yeah.
You're only allowed to address me through your captains, gentlemen. Right?
He went to Liverpool and he bombed. Yeah. Course, that's his Premier League.
Was he at Lyon in France? Doesn't matter now.
Doesn't matter. Oh, well.
Well, well played, Tortoise.
Do you want to name the first person to
play
in all five of the big leagues? Yeah.
First person ever, did you say?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's not Henri, is it?
No, it's not. I just like the idea. The first person ever. No, the first person after the first 10. I don't know.
Yeah. Who was it?
Florin
Rochoy. I never would have got that. Oh, a bonus answer.
No bonus answer for you guys.
There we are. Well, no done. Bonus answer, of course. But of course, there is lots of bonuses for you, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to ramblelive.com and get your tickets because the live shows are bloody excellent.
Yeah.
Aren't they just?
They are.
So do get yourself ramblelive.com. It's an easy one to remember. Tickets on there, venues all around good old England. So come along and bring all of your friends.
Yes.
Every last one of them.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for listening to the previous show, sponsored by Bit365. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Bye from me.
RambleLive.com.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
It's been a
while.
Since the Football Ramble toured, so come see the Football Ramble live.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.